and welcome to Alzheimer Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
Here we go. What you think about?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer Speaks today. We're going to have a fascinating conversation about figuring out what does incontinence, sleep, and music have to do with one another. And our guests today are going to be a representative from Senni and also Composure. But before I introduce you to both, I want to do a couple of shout outs to some upcoming events that you might be interested in. One is Lorenzo's House. They are having their youth summit this June 14th through the 16th. And people can go to find more information. Just head to their website, lorenzoshouse.org. Also, for those of you that are serving people living with dementia, you might be interested in checking out MAUDS Awards. There, a business can win up to $25,000 and individuals up to $5,000. So check out maudsawards.org. And then, of course, if you're looking for support groups, I do one here locally that's in person in Minnesota in the Shoreview area. And then another one virtually, which is a memory cafe we do twice a month on the second and fourth Wednesday. If you're interested in either of those, just shoot me an email at Lori, L-O-R-I, at alzheimerspeaks.com. And then I also want to point out a wonderful company called Twiddle. Twiddle provides some great sensory tools that you can purchase to help with sundowning. And they've got a variety of them there. They also have produced a wonderful product called Adapt Wrap that really helps people, you know, when they're struggling with getting dressed. And, you know, it's difficult sometimes to reach and put their arms up, or they don't understand, you know, why you're pulling a shirt over their head. Adapt a Wrap avoids all of that. And you can go to their website, which is the number 4 and then twiddlesplural.com. So with no further ado, let's go ahead and introduce you to our guest today. Well, I got to tell you, I've been really excited for this conversation with you two today. But before we hop in, I'm going to have you each introduce yourself. And Deanna, if you don't mind going first.
Yeah, certainly. Well, thank you, Lori, right out of the gate for having us on your show today. I've been excited about it. My name's Deanna Vigliotta, and I'm the National Sales Manager with Senni, which is a premium brand of high-performing adult incontinence products.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Jeff, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be here. Great to see both of you again. My name is Jeff McSpadden. I'm the co-founder and CEO at Composure. We're a audio and technology company in the aging services space, serving primarily senior living communities who are, and particularly the areas where dementia and Alzheimer's is of primary concern and care area. So really happy to be here and share a little bit about sort of, you know, Deanna and I's mutual explorations in trying to support better sleep.
Yeah, I can't wait to kind of dive into this topic of what music and incontinence or continence has to do with sleep. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation, the way people perceive that. And what some of the actualities are of that that can really help them in the long run. Before we dive too deep, I always like to ask everyone if they have been personally touched by dementia. So, Deanna, have you been touched in your own family or circle of friends?
I have. My aunt on my dad's side had Alzheimer's, and now I've got a great aunt on my mom's side, who's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And then the older that I get, I find that I have friends whose parents are being diagnosed, so certainly touched by it.
Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that. How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, most certainly. And unfortunately, because it seems to be so common, you know, that it's you're very hard pressed to not meet somebody now that hasn't had a direct impact. But going back to even to my early childhood, I was had the good fortune of getting to know my great grandmother while she was still alive, and she was living with my great aunt at the time. And we at that time you might have called it senility, or you might have called it some other things. There wasn't any formal diagnosis, but it was clearly some cognitive impairment, which, you know, on the plus side, expressed itself with great joy towards a little kid like me in her presence. So I always had a great time, but with her. And then her daughter, my grandmother, also in sort of the later years in her life, also developed dementia. And that was unfortunately not such a pleasant experience for the family, and for her in particular, because there was a lot of expressions of unmet needs and a lot of delirium and confusion around sort of her daily living and sort of, you know, I mean, we can go into all kinds of details, but for her, it was tragic to see her sort of thinking that she was in her 30s and she was keeping house with little ones in the house when actually they had all grown up and have been caretaking for her now. And so just it expresses itself in so many different ways, you know.
Yeah, it truly does. You know, like they say, when you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person with dementia.
Exactly.
And that's an important thing to remember. And it's nice that, you know, you both understand that as well in terms of your practices and stuff. So, Deanna, I want to go to you first. And if you don't mind sharing a little bit more about Sunny Products, and then also tell people about your podcast too that you have going, I think they'll find that of interest as well.
Yeah, appreciate that. So Seni is actually a brand under our parent company, which is TZMO, which is a global manufacturer of all types of hygiene products. So Seni in the USA is a brand, and it's a full line of incontinence products, everything from light to moderate to heavy to severe incontinence products, all different shapes, sizes, styles. So we like to say we've got a product for people that need it. But when you look at products, it's not just having a great product and you look at features of the products, they work really well. They help mitigate and reduce the risk of clinical negative outcomes such as falls and UTIs and skin breakdown, and they help give back dignity and confidence. But even umbrella view, you can have a great product, but I always say it's like having a great camera. You need a good photographer too. And I think about caregivers. They have to understand that if you have inner leak guards, one of the features, well, you've got to activate that brief and pull it up. So we do an abundance of training to convey what makes up a good product: full breathability, inner leak guards, super absorbency, soft, comfortable materials, all these things. And then we do a lot of product training and education behind the product, and we like to couple the two together and say, okay, well, let's look at incontinence big picture. Number one, none of us want to be incontinent. So let's look at ways first. How do we improve incontinence to get to some level of being less incontinent? And there are different things and strategies that people can do when they're aware. And so we try to do that, and we say, okay, if we have a demographic and we've helped some of those folks become less incontinent, in a perfect world, we've created miracles and they're no longer incontinent at all, but usually it's just improving. But then we go on to offer the products and offer the training and offer the education behind it. And you put that together, and it becomes almost in this country, like I call it, a paradigm shift from a disposable commodity mindset to this stuff's important. This is a critical component to the continuum of care. And as people are aging and having more chronic conditions, urinary incontinence quite often, it's not a normal part of aging, but it is a very common part of aging, usually with an underlying cause related to another chronic condition. So we're really trying to educate, 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 and then really provide a product that that works. And so incontinence still can have a stigma associated with it. And Continence Chat, one of my teammates and I are the host. It would not be possible behind the scenes. Our terrific, talented Amber Williams is our graphic designer who just does an amazing job every single day, and in the support of our company that said, yeah, let's look at this idea. So Continence Chat is twice a month, video podcast where we have different guests on the show that may be a customer that has a positive story to tell about a customer that where Senni products have enhanced their lifestyle. We've got some dynamite. You've been on it, Lori, right? So resources, we want resources on the show. I just did a video recording, and it's going to be released on Thursday with a gentleman, Andrew Skinner, with Triumph Foundation, and he went snowboarding as a young adult and became paralyzed. And their organization is amazing. And as you can imagine, a lot of people that are quadriplegics or incontinent. So it's really a variety of guests, but it's really meant to help make uncomfortable conversations more comfortable and to share resources, because people that are incontinent can often feel isolated, socially isolated. And my teammates and I have said, how do we kind of help that a little bit? And it's been a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughs. And now we're getting feedback that is super fun, where people are saying to us, you have helped. And that's, to me, nothing tops that from a feel good, whatever you want to call it, rewarding work, I guess would be probably the umbrella topic there. It's just, it's a lot of fun. And you feel like, we're trying to help people, and I think it's working. So it's very exciting times for us.
Yeah, I think what you guys do is absolutely incredible and is having such a huge impact on so many levels, not just the person who's incontinent, but those that are caring for them as well and giving them their freedom back and in a respectful, dignified fashion is, I mean, what more can you ask for? On that. Yeah. That's pretty fantastic. Jeff, let's have you talk about your mission with Composure. How did that start? What's it all about? And how the heck did you two tie up? I mean, you know, people would not go, that's a match made in heaven. You know, where did that one come from? Or that's a natural thing to do, to have an incontinence company with a music company.
Yeah, no, I you know, it's... It isn't quite a logical direct connection from the outside, but for Deanna and I, we share so many of the same missions and passions and convictions, you know, at its core, and what we're both trying to achieve is so similar that it made sense to us. So I'm happy to share more about that. Before I say a little bit about the company and the origins and our mission and so forth, I just want to say, you know, first of all, thank you, Deanna, for inviting me to tag along for this conversation and to, you know, speak mutually on some of the things that we're working on. I just have to say, Deanna is one of my favorite people. I mean, the passion, the dedication, the good humor, the heart, like it's always there every time we talk. And I just can't say enough amazing things about her. But also, what's really inspiring is how, you know, a company like Senni or the parent company, you could quite easily kind of rest on your laurels of being a product that is sold, you know, like you said, kind of like at a as a commodity or so forth. But the depth of, you know, wanting to educate, orient, really sort of see a purpose for, you know, improving lives through this this service and this product. It's just incredibly inspiring to us. So I just want to mention that really quick.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And so yeah, with Composure, I mean, it might be helpful just to have a quick background on myself. So before starting this company, I've been a film composer and a musician, going on nearly 30 years in that industry. And besides that, I had my own personal experiences, plus my co-founder's personal experiences of caring for aging parents myself. And it's really inspired, it inspired us both to form the company around this vision of, music and sound can do so much more than just entertain. We really are on a mission to turn sound into medicine. And one of the very first ways in which we're doing this is by tackling this huge issue of sleep and sleep health. Deanna mentioned sort of on the continence incontinence equation, how there are for some just a it's a reality. It doesn't, it's not a reality for everyone. It's not necessarily an inherent outcome of aging, but it is present for a vast majority at a certain stage, right? And we've discovered that sleep as a broad topic is also one of these things that isn't necessarily a challenge for everybody. But we've discovered it's generally around 75% of older adults experience chronic issues with sleep. And because we're primarily focused on working with senior living communities and these sort of, care environments, there's a lot of issues that are contributing to the already suppressed ability to get good sleep. And a lot of that has to do with the what we call the sonic environment. So what we mean by sonic environment is that, every space we sit in, live in, and travel through, pass through, all has some kind of sounds associated. Now, some of those are intentional, like we'll put on the radio or the TV, or be someone is singing or whatever. The rest are unintentional, and unfortunately, our brains don't really care. Like our brains are responding to whatever we hear, and because we've evolved as humans over millions of years to respond to sound for our own survival. I mean, that's how that's how we got our start as early humans. You can only see what's might potentially being a danger to you right in front of you, but you can hear what might be coming up behind you, right? And so that really helped hardwire these core parts of our brains and our nervous system to respond instinctually. We don't have to think about it. If something startles us, we flinch. And that's our body's ability to respond to the fight or flight response, whatever you want to get into there. But it's understanding that piece of it, and also realizing that that response mechanism is true for us whether we're awake and or when we're asleep. And so, if you've already got challenges with getting consistent, restful sleep at night, and you happen to be in a care environment in which there are frequent and sometimes very loud interrupting noises and distractions, then it's on us. We saw our mission sort of aligning with solving that issue, saying, okay, noise is a distracting element. And we already know we're facing this challenge with sleep with older adults anyhow. We're going to deploy in a strategic manner. We're going to deploy sounds that support the entire sleep cycle. And we can get into more details on that if you want. But, and then what kind of links Deanna and I up together is this shared passion on improving sleep quality for the folks that we serve. Now, the reason that's important, I mean, we can kind of all identify with how we feel when we don't get a good night's sleep. But if you add, a cognitive impairment to the mix, other kinds of neurodegenerative diseases or diagnoses, it really makes that problem even more acute. And, it means you can't You've got lowered coping thresholds the next day. Your cognition is impaired even further. I mean, there's just numerous things that are downstream effects of this. And we've seen the opposite be true, that if you can improve quality of sleep for these folks, that you've actually improved the 24-hour cycle. So Deanna and I got together on this topic thinking, hey, we're kind of taking di vastly different approaches.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
But we're complimentary in service to improving a good night's sleep.
Which is fantastic, because I think a lot of times we don't break down, we don't think about, you know, how we can mix and match things to improve something, especially when, you know, they're just two things you don't normally put together. But it makes a ton of sense, because, you know, if you're laying in bed and you're wet or you're worried that, you know, maybe you might leak, you're not going to get a good sleep. You know, and music and that sonic sound that you're talking about can make a huge, huge difference in terms of how we go to sleep. I know I listen to stuff all the time at night, you know, and I listen to different things depending on what mood I'm in and what I need to happen to my body to kind of shut down. And, you know, it makes a huge difference getting that sleep or not. It's just massively, massively huge.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our whole control system hasn't rested. You know, our brain is active, and that's not good. Deanna, I want to ask you if there's anything else you'd like to add to that comment by Jeff.
No, I'll just say that, you know, he had said at the beginning, gee, basically, you know, he enjoys working with me, but I really enjoy working with him. And the more, it's interesting because even being in the industry, I think, you know, when I think I know more than I know, I'm always reminded very quickly how little I know. And so it's fascinating to me to keep learning about different technologies that are out there. And I just applaud what he's doing in terms of helping people get good restorative sleep. We had a meeting, Jeff Wright, I forget when, it could have been a year ago, but I was like, show me. And he literally showed me kind of soup to nuts so I could digest and understand more than just the surface. And it's quite fascinating. And more articles that are coming out that we see, you know, whether it's through McKnight's Senior Living or Senior Housing News, that just we're back and forth with articles sending, did you see this one, this one? I mean, it's just all confirming that it's sleep is no longer a nice to have. It's a need to have. So those would be my additional comments. But I just enjoy our relationship for sure.
Well, and I can see, you know, just knowing both of you, the passion you both have. It's just nice when you have when you link up with someone that's kind of at that same level and has that ability to be creative on top of it, you know, to make magic happen. I mean, there's like not a replacement for that. It's, to me, it's one of those things you can't even really put into words because it's so magical, you know, when you connect like that. So I'm glad that two of you guys hooked up and are doing what you're doing. Let's talk a little bit, and I'm going to throw this one to Deanna. You guys both presented at the Center for Innovation, which is the Greenhouse Project and the Pioneer Network annual conference. What was that all about? And did you present together, or were you both presenting, and that's kind of where minds merged to go off with your project?
Yeah, I'll jump on that one, Jeff, and if I don't have all the details, jump in and share. But I think the story goes, it was about I think it was last summer sometime. Our company, Seni, had submitted a proposal to present, and I believe that Jeff submitted a proposal to present. And then I know I got a call from one of their team members at the time that said, "I have an idea. How would you feel about, do you know Jeff McSpadden with Composure?" And I didn't at that time. I think I had known his name, but I would be fibbing if I said that I really knew him. So I said, I know the name, but I don't know him. Well, I'd like to make an introduction because this person said, "I'm thinking that maybe the two of you, if you're open to the idea, could co-present." And so an introduction was made, and then it just felt like we clicked from the intro meeting right on through to having planning meetings about the restorative sleep was really, again, the common ground. And so it was fun all the way through. I learned from Jeff of different things related to sound and music with sleep. I think he learned a little bit about incontinence deeper than what he had known before. And so when we presented together, which we did, we had a room full of people. It was fascinating to me, and it was excitement in the room, and it was positive, right? It was about sleep and people eager to learn and so forth. And we blended basically our presentations and then piggybacked to keep it engaging with the attendees of I shared a little bit and Jeff shared a little bit and I shared and Jeff shared. And at the end, one of my takeaways was there was a neurologist who had attended that meeting, and he had so many questions in a wonderful way, because others you could see as he asked a question, and a lot of it did pertain to the music and the sound and the neurocognitive decline and things that you would expect a neurologist to be asking. But you could see others from the attendees, the ears peek up of, I want to understand that as well. And it just became very engaging. And it was just fabulous. And we've kept in touch ever since. And we just clicked the submit button again to propose. We don't know if we'll get picked, but we'd like to do another presentation around sleep again, a different presentation. But again, it remains a hot topic that has not gone away, that people want to hear about and learn and so forth. And it's just been from there a wonderful growing, strengthening relationship ever since, from my perspective. I know I'm missing some details, Jeff, but that was my major takeaway.
Yeah, no, that said it. I think, the sort of core principle of what we were presenting as a duo, dynamic duo, was, there is a long-standing history, especially in sort of these organized sort of institutional care environments, of the rounding or the 2-hour bed checks or the, it's just sort of the de facto default mode that a lot of care staff have been trained to do, and organizations have just kind of leaned on as their idea of providing good care through those nighttime hours. And really what Deanna was able to share is sort of like, okay, well, let's deconstruct that a little bit. Let's look at how we got here. And related to that, to the story of Florence Nightingale and how had she actually had invented during wartime, and those recovering soldiers in a hospital setting, the idea of 2-hour bed checks and so forth. She could give you more detail on that if we want to get into it. But it resonated because I think a lot of people, two things. One, this topic of sleep in general is just in the air, just culturally right now. People are recognizing how important that is, how our modern busy lives have sort of worked in counter to good sleep health and sleep regimen. And so it's really about reclaiming that routine and the health practice of good sleep, and then sort of taking that into these care environments and saying, okay, what are we doing that is potentially a hazard to good health for our residents and not in support of good health. So as we've said before, right, if you take if you look at continence issues, if you look at sleep through that lens, then it's obvious you got to have something that's going to ensure good, physical health and continence health through the night, so that you don't have to check somebody have to do a change through the night, right? And for us, it's about treating the environment and saying, look, if you employ good strategies of using sound as an environmental stimulus, if you apply good strategy there, you can actually create a better calming sleep environment all night long, even in the face of some occasional interruptions or, somebody coming into a room to just do a quick eyeball check and so forth. So the presentation at CFI last year was really about the two of us kind of bringing our unique perspectives and some of the history and so forth around that, and really saying, hey, enough's enough. We don't really need rounding. We shouldn't be by default interrupting people's sleep through the night just to, I don't know. There's a lot of boxes that checks for certain, environments and staff, but I think it's not a great service to the older adults that we're serving. There's other pieces to it too, but we'll sort of get to them later. But there is an interesting fact that somebody brought up and that Deanna, you and I talked about early on when we were formulating that presentation, which is one of the well-known quote-unquote enhanced interrogation methods that the military uses for prisoners is interrupting their sleep every 2 hours. And that's exactly what typically goes on in these care environments. Obviously not through that lens or that motivation, but unintentionally we're applying the same techniques and methods, and it's just not great for people's health.
I guess I would add in too, when they rolled out that the brain really needs 8 hours of sleep, to help cleanse it and restore, and people are looking at that more seriously, going, well, I kind of thought it was cool. As I age, I don't need as much sleep. I only need 5 hours or something. But people are taking, it more seriously, because now it's one of those lifestyle things that we can control.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to get dementia. And so this is, a help in that. But for a person who has dementia, again, it's looking that not just the sleep and the brain being able to cleanse itself and regenerate, but it affects our abilities, it affects our moods, and all of those things affect everyone else we encounter. Yeah. And so there's just such a ripple effect with this that I think it's so natural, because, and this is something we haven't quite said out loud yet, but, if residents are able to sleep better, staff are going to have less things to deal with. Yeah. There's not going to be as much combative behavior. They're going to be able to attend to maybe someone else who does need help and not feel as stretched. So it's going to reduce stress on so many levels with that. Jeff?
Well, we've actually been able to prove that out, mm-hmm. in a clinical research study that we did. And I may have touched on this a little bit in a prior conversation with you, Lori, maybe last year, but what we found was, we're proud of our approach, mm-hmm. and using sound in this strategic way to improve sleep. But what we're mostly proud of discovering, okay, when you can improve sleep for a dementia population, folks who are already in mid to late stage of dementia, what we were seeing was improving their sleep on a consistent basis night after night, was improving cognitive ability during the day. They could understand direction better. They were more independent, which, to your point, required less for burden on staff. They were eating better. They were participating in activities and engagement, throughout the day. And that's a virtuous cycle, right? You improve the sleep, so they improve their day, which then, we all get worn out at the end of an active, busy day, and then we sleep better the next night. And it really just is a self-fulfilling, positive outcome throughout. So we've seen it. There's other studies. There was one published back in May of last year. One of the co-authors on it was Matthew Walker, who is a leading sleep researcher. And what it proved was that in the face of an Alzheimer dementia diagnosis, better deep wave sleep, which is that most restorative stage of sleep, actually gives the individual's cognitive boosts, not just for the next day, but longitudinally. So on a long time scale. So good sleep is great for folks with dementia prior to dementia. It's great for 2-year-olds. It's great for everybody. And it's unfortunately in our adult sort of busy lives, it's typically the thing that we gets it gets sacrificed the easiest in a lot of ways. And it's really unfortunate.
Well, yeah, because our minds are so busy. I mean, our world's kind of in chaos the way it is, and everyone is like, there's just not enough time in the day. And a person with dementia feels that, as well as staff or, family members. This is important for them as well, because when they're not getting sleep, because their loved one's not getting sleep, and it ups the ability for people to get sick in other fashions. And, because your immune system is worn down. I mean, there's just so many levels of this that come into play. It's interesting, as we talk about just kind of the connection between you two, that I think most people wouldn't have thought of, pairing together, but you're kind of like a fine wine and a great dinner, match.
I won't claim which part of that I am. I just,
That's funny. It's interesting. Jeff was mentioning the research studies, and while we don't have a clinical research study to back this up, one of the attendees that attended our session was an administrator of a nursing facility. And she contacted me afterwards and said, we're going to do a pilot here. Can you offer us some education and training and so forth? And she had a couple of CNAs that were used to changing folks every 2 hours. And so we did a little bit of education about how it's actually improved care to let them sleep. And they were amazed at the results of having more alert, more engaged residents the following morning. And that led out to them, and you think of the ripple effect, the cycle again. Now they're more engaged in the activity. So what happens at night? They're sleeping better by virtue and not having the 2 hour, and it just goes wildly all the way around, I call it, for that person that might be living in a community. But I also think too, for somebody that's taking care of someone at home, I believe that quality sleep can keep couples together longer, because again, if that person they're caring for is up, well, then they're up. And to your point, Lori and Jeff, but you just it's so cyclical, for better or for worse. And I think Jeff's approach and the Seni approach, and even you, Lori, you say, how would I tie into all this? Resources right here. We're talking about it. We're spreading the resources. I mean, it's a big spider web, and through education, I just believe that better outcomes across the board happen. They just do.
I love the creativity of what you're doing. And when I was thinking about your conference, and I'm like, I would sign up for that, because it's not the same old thing we're always hearing. And people are probably drawn in, like going, how do all these things match up? I want to learn more, because they know each of them is an important factor in living well, for sure. We're going to just take a short break here. And we have been talking with Deanna, with Seni, and we have been talking with Jeff, with Composure. And what an interesting conversation about how you can mix, you know, incontinence and music and improve sleep. And we're going to continue that conversation after we hear a little bit about QBlocks, which is a fantastic webmaster. But in the meantime, you can check the show notes and there's contact information for both Deanna and Jeff for website, email, and LinkedIn. So don't hesitate to reach out to them to learn more. We'll be right back in just a moment. I also want to introduce you all to QBlocks. They have been absolutely excellent to deal with. They have been in business for 18 years and they serve the globe. I can't say enough good things about this company. I've had a lot of bad experiences. I don't know about you with tech companies. They have made a very complicated process very easy. And their staff is so kind, so polite, so respectful to work with. And you know, when I am frustrated and ready to pull my hair out, they just smile and tell me everything's going to be okay. And they really are just on top of the communication, which alleviates so much stress as an owner when you're dealing with tech issues. You can get a 10% discount. Visit them at QBlocks, that's QBlocks.com. Or you can email them at letstalk@qblocks.com. For that 10% discount, just put Lori, L-O-R-I, in the inquiry form. And again, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I surely haven't been. I can't rave enough about this company. And that's kind of rare these days. So, Deanna, I want to go back to you because I'm really interested in talking about communities and how are they taking advantage of your Senny Continence Care program? I think it's interesting, even the term that you use, continence versus incontinence, because we all think of it as incontinence. But that's the beauty, I think, of the mindset of you and your team and your company. You know, it's not a negative, it's a positive thing. And we're going to improve this any way we can. So if you can share a little bit about the program, because I'm sure many in our audience don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. We are definitely seeing a shift, which is wonderful, because that is our mission, is to see the shift. Whereas several years ago, if we approached an assisted living community, and I don't say all, but a fair amount, they would say, oh, we don't. I literally have had people that will put their hands like this. We don't do that. Our residents bring their own products in. And so when you think about it, if I'm an adult daughter, it's never any ill will. I love my mom. I love my dad. But I unintentionally, if I don't know about incontinence products, I may go to a big box store and I may see that, well, I think mom's large. I think, well, all right, I'm going to get her a large. Oh, down around the corner, that's a dollar cheaper. I'm going down there and I bring in an inferior product. Let's say that my mom is really a medium, size medium, no ill will on my part, but because she's a medium, she leaks at night and now she gets up, she feels uncomfortable and now she falls. Now it's all hands on deck from that community, right? The caregivers, the administration, they're the ones now that I unintentionally contributed to that fall. And they've got to call me, right? And say, mom fell. And I may point the finger and say, what do you mean she fell? Because I love her. And really, I am the one that may have contributed. So through education, we're sharing with people that work in communities, why would you take all that risk on your shoulders when you can guide? It will always be resident choice, but when you can guide to a continence care program where we will give you free product samples for your residents to try before they buy, you can minimize your risk of treating wounds. And if a wound gets to a certain stage, you run the risk of your client that you worked so hard to bring into your community that they have to leave. And we say we can help there. Most recently, we've had communities, and this is interesting, they've said to us, I like the products. I like the products a lot, but I don't have time. I don't have staff. We still have a big caregiver staffing crisis in communities. I don't have the time to enter in order. And so we can guide those folks to different other outlets to purchase. But now what I'm saying to people is, let's think about that. If we rewind that, entering an order through one of the distributor partners that they may work with. We're manufacturers, so we don't sell to communities. We work with a layer of distributors and provide the support. But if somebody is placing an order once a week or once every other week or once a month, however the community has that workflow, that's what I call dedicated time. You can plan that time, and it's stress-free in the sense of, this is my task to enter. I'm focused on my task at hand. Here we go. The products come. They're dispersed to the residents. It's dedicated time. But if you don't do a continence care program, I always say to communities, if you just think about what happens when a resident falls or a resident has a UTI or a resident has a skin breakdown, that's unplanned time. You don't put that on the books that we're going to put Mrs. Smith at 3 a.m. on Monday is going to fall and we're going to need all hands on deck. It's unplanned time. I'd rather be working from a proactive approach versus reactive approach. And that's one of the messages that we are, knock on wood, we are seeing a difference where communities are saying, you know what? I hadn't thought of it like that. And yeah, let's have a conversation at least. So we are having more conversations with more communities. We're seeing more implementation of continence care programs. And I think you can maintain, if not increase, your census, which is very important from a financial perspective, a business perspective, and there's nothing wrong with that. And people say, well, how can I do that? Incontinence, maintain census, increase referrals in, all, how does that happen? I say, well, let's digest that a little bit. If you have residents where you're guiding to good quality products, we can keep them aging in place, whether it's independent living, assisted living, memory care, we can keep them there healthier, happy, longer periods of time. If we allow folks to sleep uninterrupted through the night, and we understand a fully breathable product will help reduce that risk of the skin breaking down. Now I have other caregivers that maybe during COVID, maybe a wing of the community was closed off, and they needed more staffing to fill it. Now you free up staffing time. Well, that again lets your more open to having residents move in and at least maintaining. And then I think I work, if my mom was in a community and she was alert, engaged, enjoyed the activities every day. And if I work with Jeff in an office or you, Lori, in an office building, and you came to me and you said, you know, I've got to start thinking about mom or dad, my mom, where's your mom? Because I know you mentioned that she's at a community. Does she like it? Is she happy? Well, if my mom is dry, well-fed, where I feel the love there that she's well taken care of, I'm going to say to you, Lori, are you Jeff? She loves it. In fact, when I go to the community, I have to chase her down in one of the activities rooms because she's always going versus rewind it. You know, every time I go there, she's wet and I have to call someone to come and change her, or I go there and she always seems tired to me. She's falling asleep during our conversation. You can go positive or negative is my point. So yeah, I'm thrilled to share that. I really feel the message is being more understood. And as I always say, I think this industry is loaded with big hearts and smart people. There is very little ill will that I see. It's lack of education. And then it's so wonderful when people say, okay, I'll, what do you have to say about a continence care program? Why should we? And people are listening, is my takeaway. So, and I think they're being forced to some degree, because we're hearing about people with higher levels of acuity, even in independent living. We're seeing it in assisted living, and a memory care community might be too full to accept a person with assisted living that might have some neurocognitive decline issues that have since come, and lots of challenges out there. So,
yeah, well, you know, and on top of, you know, the medical prevention, you know, of sores and being able to get sleep, you also have the environmental issues that, again, always aren't talked about. But I remember, you know, ages ago, and some people still have this belief, is you're going to walk into a place and you're going to smell urine. You know, you're going to avoid that. You're going to avoid the slips and falls, the wet beds. I mean, there's just so many layers to it that have a huge, huge impact with all of this. Let's talk about the paradigm shift, because, you know, it used to be the nice to have, yet it would be nice. But like you said, the staff person saying, I just don't have the time, you know, and you have to educate them to the need, understanding the need to have and the benefits. Are you seeing that shift more and more? I think I am in the industry as an overall, though there's still some walls up there that, you know, just want to be in that nice to have and I don't have time.
Yeah, if you don't mind. So it really speaks to a couple things that Deanna has mentioned during this conversation that are actually not only tied together, but they're at the core of what has tied Cine and Composure together as well in a shared vision and a shared mission. And that is that paradigm shift between a nice to have to a need to have, and our ability to communicate well, how that, you know, how that is, right? Like what shape that takes. But that is directly tied to that other thing that got mentioned just a little while ago, which is being proactive versus just reactive. And so, you know, when your staff and your whole sort of operation day to day is constantly in a reactive mode, there's a lot of wasted energy, a lot of wasted even emotion, and resources and everything that leads to the burnout for staff. It leads to mistakes in care. It leads to poor decision making in what you hope to be playing catch up and being more proactive, right? When you can, like Deanna described, when you can help them take a step back and say, actually, like in both of our shared mission case, right, is improving sleep quality. If you look at improving sleep quality, however you choose to go about that, you're going to see these benefits roll out from that. And if you wait until somebody is up and down all night and you're exposed to a higher risk of falls, then yeah, a detection system like a patient monitoring system or, you know, 2-hour bed checks, okay, that makes sense because it's kind of a reactive culture, you know, but the more you can go upstream and not react downstream, you know, the better quality of care, the better, you know, prevention of those downstream effects, you know, and all of a sudden it's just, it locks in. People say, oh yeah, I get it. This is a need to have. We aren't just talking about, you know, a commodity product or a nice like sound experience. It's not that. It is actually a well-considered, a well-educated, trained sort of package that you get with both of our companies and services that speak to this preventative care type of strategy. And, you know, I think Deanna and I kind of recently discovered that we both had this switch happen recently. And it's both for us internally, but also in the conversations and things we're hearing back from the industry, that people are starting to say, you know what, we really do care about these things. We've tried it this other way. I mean, look, we haven't talked about it yet, but the things that we at Composure have discovered is when it comes to poor sleep quality, that is generally getting addressed either directly or indirectly through medications in these care environments. And that is just one big problem waiting to happen, right? We all can speak to that. The other way it's getting addressed is, the non-pharma ways it's getting addressed are things like I've mentioned, right? The patient monitoring and alert systems. That's exhausting for staff. It only catches things after they've happened. It doesn't actually prevent things from happening. No matter how many people say my AI under the hood does this predictive modeling and blah, blah, blah. No, it's still essentially a system designed to detect events as they happen or after. And then you've got, what we call the DIY bucket or the DIY solutions, which are all those really super compassionate, loving things that staff have decided to do, take upon themselves to do for their residents to help them sleep better at night. And what works for Miss Jones one night won't work for her the next night, or what works for her consistently will not work for Mr. Jones, or Smith the down the hall, right? So it's a huge time suck and super ineffective, unreliable. I think the more that Deanna and I sort of look at this sleep piece together and as a strategy, the more it really resonates with people to say, you know what, we do need to take the reins on this. We do need to improve our environment quality for composure's sake. We do need to prevent needless rounding and needless interruptions of sleep even if we could convince ourselves it's for the sake of better care, it is not, right? So helping people take that step back, realize that what we're talking about has gigantic value for residents, for families, for staff, for the operators' budgets. This is what we're seeing is a big shift come back from the market right now.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, it's taking that preventive angle versus the chaos. Nobody wants to work or live in chaos. Yeah. I mean, that's just not on anybody's bucket list. And so, you're going to have better health outcomes. You're going to have better attitudes. You're going to have better relationships. You're going to have better retention of both staff and residents,
right,
and happier families. I mean, it just makes sense. Right. And so I'm so glad you guys are diving in and really educating people on all these things, because they're really critical pieces. And companies, with being short staffed and being short on budgets, they don't have time to waste on this, because it will save time, it'll save money, and it'll have better outcomes, So it's ridiculous to use the excuse of we can't handle that right now. Well, you're handling all these other things. And yeah. Like you said, Deanna said, even, ordering the product, okay, that's going to take you 5-10 minutes. Maybe it's going to take you a half an hour, if you're really doing a bunch of them. But what's it going to take when someone slips and falls and the ambulance is called and you're reporting to the health department and you're talking to the families and you're monitoring and now you're doing the transitional care of, can they even come back? Are we going to get sued? All of those things. Yeah. It's massive. And I mean, just even in my voice, I could feel myself panic just saying those things, because it's not where anybody wants to go.
That's true.
It's not where anyone wants to go. Anything else that you want to add to that?
I think the analogy that, or sort of an analogous offering that Composure has in our sound blanket system, it's what we call our sleep product, right? That is similar to what Deanna described with the ordering, right? Mm-hmm. Is that we deploy an automated system so that we're using sound at the right time, at the right volume, and the right sound selection for each individual. It's a very sort of person-centered driven technology. And so, it's a key piece to what you kind of mentioned a second ago, Lori, about, offloading the burden that staff are already feeling from playing catch up all the time. If we can deploy a system that requires zero effort, or minimal effort for staff, and is a preventive sort of strategy, then it pays in dividends all the way down the line, So I just want to mention that there's a few other things I could just nerd out on sleep health and so forth, but we can save that for another day, I guess.
Well, can we talk about your sleep blanket? Because people are going to go sleep blanket. What's that? I was thinking you're just going to turn like a little, radio on or have a CD player playing. What the heck is a sound blanket?
So, yes. Well, first of all, blanket is a poetic term. It really is a name for our product and service that kind of describes how we blanket the environment in a soothing sound that supports better sleep. Essentially, how this works for the senior living communities we work with is we provide these streaming networked speakers, which is a not super new technology, but fairly unfamiliar to most people. It means that we can mount these speakers, one per bed in these environments, and independently address those speakers and control those speakers fully remotely from anywhere in the world to deliver the right sounds at the right time and right volume for each individual, to improve their sleep. And once we have onboarded, we do a similar thing as Deanna's company, where there's a lot of education around the importance of sleep, how sound impacts sleep, sort of a teeing up the sort of playground we're in here. And then, giving a quick orientation around the product and service. Essentially, once we onboard a new community, it is a set it and forget it type of service. All the settings are input into our system. It fires off sounds at the right time each night for each individual room. And then staff are really just there to reap the benefits. They don't actually have to do anything for this to be successful for the residents.
Okay, interesting. Gosh, it's just fascinating. I think the more we talk, the more I'm like, sign me up, I want one at my house, and even though I'm not incontinent, it's just one of those things that just, I just feel so privileged to even know about this, to be able to pass it on to other people, because it just makes so much sense on so many levels. And I've written down, it's like, oh, I've got to connect them to this company and this company. I'm making some notes down here, because I just think it's just absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's the beauty about this industry too, right? And getting to know folks like the two of you, for me, it's been, like Deanna said, it's a lot of heart and a lot of smarts in this industry. And we all, the rising tide lifts all boats. So, as you think of things to share with us, we do the same on our end, and we just all end up benefiting, which is one of the reasons why I love, the relationship I have with Deanna and Senny, is just how we can all be sharing in our each other's successes and learnings and so forth. So,
yeah. Appreciate that. I was just going to add too, as you were talking about, Jeff, the individual sounds for each person. That's another big one of the reasons I think we all appreciate and respect so much the Center for Innovation, is it truly is that mission driven of person-centered care. And that's another thing about Composure and these sound blankets. When he was sharing the real details, those sounds are geared towards each individual resident in a community and are guided towards what time do they go to bed at night? What time do they get up? And again, a little input on the front end for sure, but just a little bit and then it goes. And it's the same with our philosophy. So I think that too, restorative sleep is the common ground. But if we were going to look at a core value, it is that person-centered approach to care, which I do think, knock on wood, more and more community owners, operators are understanding, yeah, blanket sound may work. Blanket approach does not work.
Yeah.
Person-centered. So
I see what you did there. Very nice.
See what
nice.
I did there?
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
So I have a question for you, Jeff. A lot of times when we think of sound, we think of music, or is this like crickets tweeting and loons quacking and ducks and wind blowing or ocean waves, or what kind of sound And how do you customize that?
So yeah, well, there's a lot of detail there, and I'll try and sort of sum it up in a brief description. But what we found is, and this draws upon, you know, my experience as a composer and musician, not all sounds are created equal. Mm-hmm. And not all sounds do the desired job as well as other sounds, right? So when we were devising our, you know, how we were going to go about doing a clinical study using sound to improve sleep, I kind of had a somewhat of an educated guess as to how to go about this, and realized that one of my big beefs about common sort of sleep apps, where it's kind of a one-size-fits-all approach, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you have the sound-based sleep solution that is just music, or you mm-hmm. have the sleep solution that's just nature sounds, or you mm-hmm. have the solution that is just a sound machine, like a white mm-hmm. noise machine, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I was postulating was, okay, well, if you've got folks who, because of cognitive impairment, don't always recognize when it's time to get ready for bed, mm-hmm. so they need some cueing, when they're struggling with some anxiety issues and some other sort of, you know, complexities to that prevent them from being able to fall asleep very effectively. And then you've got noisy environments that they're somehow supposed to maintain deep, you know, restful sleep throughout the night in. I took a look at it and said, okay, well, those are three distinct jobs to be done. Music is great at the first two. Music is a great way to cue, you know, what could be coming next. So if you have an environment that all of a sudden has very gentle, soothing sounds, musical sounds coming into it, that creates an association. You're like, oh, well, this is, you know, I get it. I'm supposed to be heading to bed. I mean, look, we use an alarm clock to wake ourselves up in the morning. Why not take that kind of thought and put it at the front end of our sleep and promote better getting to bed rather than waking up whether we slept or not, right? So music does that really well. It creates that calming environment to fall asleep in. Music, when done right, can do a very good job with that. But then what we did was very gently and very gradually over about a 3-minute long period, we transition, we fade out that music and gradually fade up pink noise, which is a type of frequency. It's actually the core of what we use. We've added some sort of secret sauce elements, sonic mm-hmm. elements to it that make it our own and makes it a little more identifiable and easy to listen to over long periods of time. But pink noise is the core of it. And that's a frequency that is not only really good at inducing deeper wave sleep, so, you know, deeper states of restorative sleep, but it also doubles as a sound masking type of intervention. So, in a sleep environment, you've got periods of very quiet where there's nothing going on, spiked by interruptions, you know, of noise, right? And forgive me if I mentioned this early. Did I go through this earlier in our conversation? This is new. Okay.
Yep.
I think I did this three times today, so it's all starting to blur together. But
I forgot. No.
No, yeah. So the way sound masking works in very quick terms is that if you have an environment you're sleeping in where there are moments of peacefulness and quiet, but then it's interrupted by unintentional noise, like staff members having a conversation, a phone ringing, or keys jangling at the door or whatever, to keep from having those spikes of activity waking you up, we have to make the quiet parts not so quiet and the loud parts not so loud. So introducing pink noise, or our version of pink noise, actually does that for the sleeping brain. We create an environment of sound, a certain level of environmental sound, so that quiet isn't as quiet, but it's not disturbing either. Mm-hmm. And then it actually covers some of the distracting qualities of those spikes of activity. So we looked at it from that lens of like, not all sounds are created equal. How can we deploy different sounds at different stages to support the entire sleep cycle?
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, I can't believe our time has just blown by. It always does, though, when you have an interesting conversation. Anything that you want to wrap up with, Deanna? You know, maybe why this is so important, especially for people living with dementia?
Yeah, thanks, Lori. I just want to say thank you to both of you. You're right with the time that does go so quickly, but grateful for you, Jeff. Always grateful for you, Lori. I think you do wonderful things. I would just say to communities that are out there, there's no harm, no foul in having a conversation and exploring if a continence care program might be something that could benefit residents within the community. So I always say just a conversation is free. You know, it takes a little bit of time, but again, that's a proactive approach. And just grateful to be working in this industry as a whole. I do think ever so slightly, I think things are turning. I'd like to believe that things are turning when it comes to the caregiver staffing crisis or shortage. Maybe it's gone from crisis to shortage. Let's hope. Grateful to be here and happy for the conversation and looking forward to crossing paths again shortly.
Wonderful. Jeff, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Deanna and I both sort of wholeheartedly represent is advocacy for improving sleep, because we recognize how important that is to overall health, no matter if you're 2 or 92. And we're obviously taking a different approach, but a complementary approach, like we said before. But I kind of like to cap conversations like this off with just saying, whatever you do, if you're, you know, a caregiver, if you're part of, you know, staff leadership, if you're in a community, look at how you can prioritize better sleep and actually advocate for better sleep for your residents, because it's just going to help everyone. Extend that out to your own staff. You know, a lot of staff are struggling with poor sleep as well, and caregivers at home are definitely struggling with impaired sleep. And it's not a nice to have, it's a need to have. So we're here to support that message through our unique lenses, but you know, there's lots and lots of things you can do to improve sleep health, and it's always worth it.
Oh, fantastic. Like I said, a very, very interesting conversation. And I appreciate both your times. Now, this is a collaboration. This isn't a partnership where you call one and you get both of you. You're referring back and forth to one another. Is that correct?
That's okay. Right.
Yep. And I just wanted to clarify that for people who are listening. In wrapping up again, thank you both so much for your time and your expertise and your gentle, practical manner in which you present stuff. You can feel the passion and that this isn't just a sales pitch. This is something that can really make a difference in people's lives. And you can feel that you know that in your heart of hearts and, you know, want to help others. And to me, that's a real important piece makes me want to buy in for sure, you know, because I trust you. I trust both of you. And I can't say that with everybody all the time, you know, that's especially in the world we live in today. So again, thank you. To our audience, I want to ask you to be givers of hope. Join us and just like, click, and share this message with other people. You don't know who in your sphere of influence needs this. And to me, I would say everybody needs to hear this, because the more information we have before we need it, the better off we all are. Because again, it might be someone else who needs it. And even Jeff, you mentioning with staff not getting sleep, you know, and extending that, those are things that companies can look at as benefits, you know, to their own staff, because they're trying to get creative of how can we help them live a better life. And sleep sleep affects us all in many, many ways. So thank you. Again, you can get their contact information in the show notes. Again, there's a website, email, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, all kinds of jazz. So feel free to reach out to them at any time. Well, thank you guys so much. This is just so exciting. I think it's a really cool collaboration you're doing, and I hope it gains more and more traction all the time.
Thank you both. Always fun. The time does go quickly.
I know it does. Thanks, you guys. Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you, Lori.
Bye.
Bye, Deanna.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.